Good evening.
I'd
like to welcome everyone to worship. Just a reminder, this is our last Wednesday. This Sunday is Palm Sunday. We'd love to have you come and worship with us. And then Holy Week, we have Monday, Thursday, 1 and 7 with the Eucharist at both services, all in the gym. Same thing with Palm Sunday. And Good Friday, 1 and 7 in the gym. Then, of course, we have Easter Eve at 5 o'clock, and then Easter morning, 8, 9, 10:30. And noon, a couple of those are filled, so if you're planning on coming, you might want to sign up as soon as you can. We rise for opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind.
Amen. Christ Jesus.
For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant.
That those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance.
Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free.
For the sins committed under the first covenant.
But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received
is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator.
Is superior to the old one.
Since the new covenant is established on better promises.
My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin.
But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ.
The righteous one. You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson is from Psalms chapter 22, verses 1 through 11. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near. There is no one to help. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. We rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is according to Luke chapter 22, 39 through 46. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and in his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And he began to, in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, and he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Raise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Here ends the Holy Gospel.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was young growing up, my brother Rick, he was 10 years older than me, and he loved to inflict pain. He just loved doing that. He always had the household in disarray. And I know it was that time of year where, you know, dirt would become like clumps of dirt, and you could throw them in the sky and watch them explode on the pavement. It was that time of year. And my brother Rick's outside with me, and he picks up a number of those dirt balls, and he says, Randy, you got 3 seconds, start running. Now, what do? Well, you run as fast as you can, and Rick didn't wait till 3. He was at 2, he was throwing them. I'd get welts on my body. He enjoyed inflicting pain. You know, you cannot run a stone's throw in 3 seconds. What is a stone's throw? 50, 70 yards? You know, we're looking at the King James Bible from 1611, phrases we use every day that came from the King James. A stone's throw means short distance. We hear that in our gospel lesson for today. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas. He's praying and praying. He prays in his prayer that if it's thine will, my Father, take this cup of suffering from me. He said, is there another way to save your creation? I'll do it, but it's your will, not my will be done. Is there another way? You know, God's answer is the prayer. It's yes or no or wait. Pastor Wugazer always said, and I love this, he would say yes or no or wait. I have a surprise for you, better than you can imagine. And yet Jesus' prayer would not be answered how he desired. In fact, this Sunday, we're going to be talking on Palm Sunday about when it seems God disappoints you. It was a no to Jesus. In the garden, he starts sweating blood, a rare condition, documented medical condition, hemohydrosis. Under great stress, the body can actually sweat blood. You know, he's doing this all for one reason. I saw a church sign once, and it said, despite deflation, the wages of sin are still the same. It was a great church sign. The wages of sin do not change. Now, sometimes you may hear somebody use that phrase in referring to somebody who did something wrong, and they're paying the price, the wages of sin. But those are words from Paul, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only one that can pay the price. And we know the wages of sin. We're very familiar with it. We lose loved ones. We ourselves get sick. There's disappointment. There's pain. There's suffering. We understand the wages of sin. You know, you ever think about, well, stumbling block. That's in Scripture too. Sometimes we'll use, you know, a phrase about getting caught up in something, a stumbling block. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Why was it a stumbling block? They were looking for an earthly king. That's what they desired. They didn't find that in Jesus. And sometimes just thinking about the story of Jesus can be a stumbling block. Think about it. You believe in a man who was born over 2,000 years ago. Supposedly, he's the God that created this world and called all things into existence. And he comes here for you, even though his creation rebelled, ate of the forbidden fruit, and he said, from the seed of the woman, I will send a Savior. And so God becomes one of us. It's a pretty crazy story. Then lives a perfect life on our behalf, whatever that looks like. None of us knows that. And then he dies for us. And supposedly, 3 days later, rises from the dead. It's a far-fetched, crazy story, and yet we hold on to it with such faith. We believe it because God has created that faith within us. It is not a stumbling block like it can be for so many people. The Bible says God called you. You didn't choose him. He chose you to be a part of his family. And we have that message. You know, God wants us to walk the straight and narrow. That's from Scripture, too. Matthew 7, Jesus said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and a few there be there that find it. The path to destruction is wide. Many people are on that road. But the narrow path, and it's not about morality. It's about following Christ. Or your morality will be influenced by Christ, and it will change. But that's not what we're talking about, the straight and narrow. It's about following Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen our youth door open. If you're ever in the chapel when the youth group's here and they're singing and playing music, you can hear it all throughout the chapel. It's right under the chapel. And they have their own door on the side to get into their room downstairs. And if you ever see that door open, it's painted on the inside and it says, the narrow door. That's from Scripture, the narrow door. Today we're recognizing we have 20 young people, you know, young adults in our youth group going North Carolina to do mission work. They're going to do a number of things. If mission trips for the youth are anything like the ones I've been on, and all your preparation, all your reading from the place you're going, they tell you to be flexible. That's the key. Be flexible, because you cannot plan what you're going to do from day to day. You have to be prepared for all things. But today, we're going to send our youth off with a blessing. We give thanks to God that we have such young people at Redeemer who want to do the ministry and the work. Those who walk the narrow way to proclaim Christ. You know, it's all about saving grace. So often you'll hear somebody talk about somebody else, and they're not that good in a lot of areas in life, but they have one part of their characteristic that is their saving grace. You talk about that. It outshines everything, and it makes up for everything. Well, saving grace is from Scripture. It says in Ephesians 2:5, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Saving grace that belongs to us through Christ. And that's what we celebrate each and every day. We don't celebrate our perfection or our sainthood. We're only made saints through the blood of Christ. We celebrate the one who cleanses us from sin. And all our good deeds, even though Scripture says, are filthy rags before him, because we're so imperfect, in his sight they are beautiful. We think of our youth going on that mission trip. We think of the things you and I do in the name of Christ each and every day. Walking that narrow path of watching our Christ. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you read through the story, Jesus prayed. He prayed for his disciples. And then he prayed for those who would believe as a result of the disciples' testimony. He prayed for you and I over 2,000 years ago. And in that prayer, he didn't ask God to take us out of this world. No, he said, protect us from the evil one. Because we have a purpose and a mission and a reason for existing. Not to serve self, but to serve Christ. And in serving Christ, we serve others. Bringing that message of saving grace. Bringing that message of the narrow door. That we may not become a stumbling block to others, but that we may be an open door for others to learn and know and love Christ. May God help us do just that. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Made where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade. Saints and angels.
rich and pure, how measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels'
song. Gracious Lord and Father, we, your chosen ones in Christ Jesus, bring to you our sacrifice of prayer and praise. For not rebuking us in your anger or chastising us in your wrath, we give you thanks. Grant us the power to overcome Satan in our daily lives, just as your Son, Jesus Christ, withstood the temptations of Satan in the wilderness. Send us your Holy Spirit, that he may keep us steadfast in the Christian faith. All this we ask, as you have taught us to pray.
Please be seated. I would invite our youth counselors to come forward, our mission team, and also those counselors who are going and traveling with them. As a congregation, you need to know how proud we are in God that we have such an active youth ministry, and it's always wonderful to see so many young people at church. It's a reminder that the church will continue on the ministry and work that Christ has called us to. Here a reading from 1 Peter chapter 4. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in this various form. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever. In the presence of God in this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the responsibilities of this mission trip? Do you promise to faithfully carry out your duties and tasks, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word? If so, then say, I do.
Heavenly Father, let us entrust these young people who are departing on this mission trip to your good hands. Let us pray that you will give them a successful journey, and that as they travel, you will watch over them. Pray that while in North Carolina, especially during Holy Week, they can bring the good news while aiding their fellow man. This we ask in your name, as God is the beginning and the end of every road we take. Amen. We rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.